Don't leave yet. No, I have something for you. So last week, we spent the last week with our grandkids over at the beach, and they told me the funniest joke. And I promised them I would tell you this joke. Okay. Maybe you've heard it. Okay. If you've heard it, don't, you can tell me if you've heard it. Why did the chicken cross the road? Do you know why the chicken crossed the road? Because that's it. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. All right. It's time for me to read scripture, so let me put on my preacher face. This is God's holy word taken from the Gospel of Luke. Would you please stand in reverence to the hearing of the God's holy word read and proclaimed? This is from the final chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We're in a series where we're studying the appearances of Christ after the resurrection. This is the walk to Emmaus. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was to redeem Israel." "Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And then these two men told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's your lucky day. I know you've been waiting for it. The wait is over. Your physicist preacher is going to teach you quantum mechanics. You are here just at the right time. Wait a minute. I was expecting applause. Y'all excited about getting some quantum? Come on. I know you've been wanting me to teach you some physics. I've been with you for almost 2 years now, and I've taught you almost nothing about the way God created the universe. So quantum mechanics, y'all, is holy. There you go. There you go. Amen, sister. This is the way the universe works. God created quantum mechanics. Why? I think it's the reason I was brought into the ministry is to teach you quantum mechanics. I was originally going to preach this sermon on May the 4th. That was going to be perfect. May the 4th be with you. Quantum mechanics, it was just like that. Seriously, okay, so I am going to teach you a little quantum mechanics. Everything in the universe has wave-like properties, okay? Like waves on a pond, okay? You know about light, right? Different colors of light come in different lengths of waves. We call them wavelengths. We measure the length of the waves and to tell us what the color of the light is. But so does matter. Matter has waves, like electrons. They come in waves too. Now you might be saying, I thought electrons were particles. And you would be right. Electrons are particles. Everything has particle-like properties, like rocks do. You know about electrons. They carry charge. There's the electricity that makes the lights come on in here. Light comes in particles, too. We call them photons. Now, wait a minute. I just said light has waves. Now I said light is particles. I just said electrons are particles, but electrons are waves. Everything comes in waves and in particles. How can both be true? How can both be right at the same time? Can it be? Yes, it can. This is the way God made the universe. Hard to believe? Yes. That's why people like me spend a career studying this stuff, because it's hard to understand. It's hard to believe, but it's true. It's how the universe works. It's why I have a job. Figuring out stuff like this is what they pay me to do. I do a lot of quantum mechanics. In fact, you might call me a quantum mechanic. And most importantly, this is how God made the universe. The universe is based on the laws of quantum mechanics, this weird stuff. You might ask, why did he make the universe out of such a crazy thing as this? Why didn't he make it normal, like in the world I believe in? Why? Because, I don't know. He just did. That's the way it is. You might say, I don't need all this particle wave stuff to get through my day. Regular mechanics is plenty good enough for me. It's how my car works. It's how my house works. It's how my body works. I don't need all that weird stuff. Let the nerds like Henry worry about this. I don't need no quantum mechanics. But if this is how the universe is made out of this weird stuff, it begs a question. It's hard to believe stuff. It begs a question I want you to think about. Is quantum mechanics the only weird, unbelievable concept God based the universe on? Is there anything else that is unbelievable that I'm supposed to believe? Let's look at today's passage. We're in a sermon series looking at the appearances of Jesus after the resurrection. So maybe you already see where I'm going with this. Resurrection is like quantum mechanics. Something unbelievable that I'm supposed to believe. Today's passage is one of the encounters Jesus had on Easter after the resurrection. You're familiar with the empty tomb, right? You're familiar with the encounter with the angels, Mary's encounter with Jesus. Last week, we had the encounter with Doubting Thomas, right? Today, we see Luke's account of what happened that morning. The story starts with the familiar. Women find the empty tomb and angels saying he is risen. The women run back to tell the 11 and all the others, according to Luke. Who are these others besides the 11? We'll see. The people in the room say this is nonsense, although Simon Peter runs to check it out. At this point, nobody's seen Jesus. And today's story in Luke picks up with what happens next. Two of these others leave town for the 7-mile walk to Emmaus, close to Jerusalem. It's not a long walk, just a few hours for them to walk out there. These two men, apparently your men, are talking about everything that had happened in Jerusalem to Jesus. And then a stranger joins them and asks them what they're talking about. They tell him about Jesus' trial, his death. They're surprised this guy doesn't know about this already. They tell him the shocking news that this morning they found the tomb empty. You know the rest of the story, right? The stranger turns out to be Jesus. He explains the meaning of the events in light of the Old Testament prophecy. They show up. They make it to Emmaus. Jesus starts to leave, but they beg him to stay. So at the meal, Jesus breaks bread, and at that moment, they recognize him. Then Jesus disappears. These two men run back to Jerusalem to tell the 11 and the others what they have seen. By the way, and thanks to Wakeford and Elizabeth for this gift, it turns out there is an apocryphal gospel of the Hebrews that was referenced in that book y'all gave me, that said that one of these two men, one of them is Cleopas, it's mentioned in the Bible, the other one's not named. The other guy, they believe in this apocryphal gospel, is Jesus' brother James. Jesus' brother James apparently had made a vow after the Last Supper that he would not eat bread again until he saw Jesus risen. And it was because of Jesus opening and breaking the bread that his brother James was able to recognize him because of the vow he had made. Now, isn't it striking if it was James, Jesus's brother, that he didn't recognize his own brother for so long on that walk? Anyway, Jesus then shows up in the room where all these people are gathered, including Cleopas and perhaps James. And he says, I'm here. See me? Touch me? See my wounds? You have some fish? I'm hungry. He eats. He's a real person standing there. And then he explains to them what he explained to the two on the road. This is to fulfill what the Old Testament said about the prophecy. And he says, stick around, the Holy Spirit's coming. And then Jesus ascends into heaven after that. Okay, so that's the story. That's the text we're looking at. What's the unbelievable part? Well, all of it. I think if you are honest about it, all of this story is unbelievable. Jesus the Messiah was tried by Jewish leaders, his leaders. They handed him over to the Romans, who flogged him and killed him and then buried him at the peak of the Sabbath. I'm sorry, at the peak of the Passover, just before the Sabbath. Then Jesus rose from the dead. That's unbelievable. Left the tomb empty. Angels were there telling people what happened. And then Jesus walked around, seen by many, but unrecognized. Which is harder to believe, y'all? This story or quantum mechanics? Maybe more to the point, is this some kind of test? Am I supposed to believe in unbelievable things to be a good Christian? Is that what it means? Am I supposed to replace common sense with faith in order to be a good Christian? And why does it have to be about belief? Why can't it be about fact? I like facts better. Maybe that's the right question. It is supposed to be about facts. Although quantum mechanics is unbelievable, it's also fact. Also, Jesus' resurrection is unbelievable, but it's also fact. The challenge is not whether you believe in something unbelievable. The challenge is whether you accept uncommon fact as truth. With this in mind, I want to point out something that you may have missed in the story. I missed it. I read it several times before I saw this. Because I was thinking, what can I say about this passage in a sermon? What's Luke trying to say with this? Then it hit me. Did you notice what the two said to Jesus about what the women reported? Quoting Luke, some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Isn't it ironic that the two men are telling Jesus the women did not see him when they're standing right next to Jesus and they don't see him? If seeing is believing, they were blind, weren't they? Jesus was alive in their midst. They were blind to a fact. It was unbelievable, but true. That's the point of the story, I think. It is proven in what happens after they recognize him and run back to Jerusalem, because Jesus joins them. He meets with all of them. And the first thing he does is say, I'm here. I'm really here. He proves it that he's there. He has to prove that he's alive, that he's not a ghost, that he is a resurrected body, a human being. Alive, though once dead. So, if the point of the story is to show how they struggled to believe a fact that Jesus is alive, isn't the point the same for us? That Jesus is alive, whether we see it or not, whether we believe it or not. I don't think this is about faith any more than quantum mechanics is about faith. What do you suppose my physics colleagues over at Rice would say if I walked down the hall and say, I have faith that quantum mechanics is a good way of understanding things? They'd say he's a nut. They might even say he needs to find another office somewhere. Because it's a fact. I don't need to have faith when I have fact, they would say. I don't know that Jesus' resurrection is about faith either. Christ is risen. We say that is the mystery of faith. Christ is risen. It's a fact, period. Mysterious, sure. So is quantum mechanics. You ever heard of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle? Another piece of quantum mechanics? You ever heard of that? Sure. The basic idea here is that because of the wave-like properties of matter, we can't know precisely both where something is located and how fast it's moving. The better you know one thing, the less you can know the other. If I know exactly where something is, I cannot tell you how fast it's moving, and vice versa. It's an uncertainty. It is a fundamental principle of quantum mechanics, is that we can't know something. This is how the universe operates, with an intrinsic uncertainty at its core, with a mystery as its core law. Being mysterious doesn't make quantum mechanics less true. Being mysterious does not make the resurrection less true. I feel like Christianity's gotten in trouble, maybe lost its impact, shrunk in the Western world because we've allowed mystery to turn facts into beliefs, to turn truth into faith. We've allowed the Jesus story and the resurrection fact to become a belief, to become a lifestyle choice. And because it has become a choice of people, many have chosen to ignore it because they think it's a belief, not a fact. After all, they'll say science explains everything with facts, right? Who needs all this faith stuff? So I got to ask as we close, in your mind, is Jesus' resurrection a fact or just a belief? Is your faith with a capital F based on faith and belief or facts and truth? However mysterious and unbelievable they may be, it matters because it determines your perspective on the world. When you face great challenges, like a problem at work, a problem at home, a problem in the hospital, if your faith is based on belief, then you're hoping. But if your faith is based on facts, then Christ is with you, no matter what. When everything is on the line, believe me, you need facts. Thanks be to God that I have these facts. And if it helps you at all, I'm convinced, I'm comforted. I'm comforted by the fact that God created a universe out of unbelievable things, like quantum mechanics, like Jesus' resurrection. Not because we're supposed to believe in the unbelievable to be good Christians, but because God is God and we are not. If facts like these don't make sense to us, it's proof of a fact that we don't have everything figured out. There's more. It's why I love being a scientist, because I'm confronted with the unknown every day. I live in the mystery. Unbelievable does not mean it's not true. It means our minds are too small. Let me say that again. Unbelievable does not mean something's not true. It means our minds are too small. Christians, I challenge you to live like a scientist. Acknowledge you don't have everything figured out. God is God and you are not. Seek meaning in mystery. After all, the universe operates with uncertainty as a core principle. And while you struggle to find meaning, allow mystery to be a blessing. Who knows? You may see Christ has been walking with you all along. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we're blind. You're there. We don't see it. We act like you're not there. Maybe it's because we have expectations about what we want to see, because we've got it figured out and we know what's right. We know what we should be looking for. We know what things should be like. We know what right is. And it makes us blind to the idea that you are bigger, you are greater. You are more loving. You are more gracious. You are more merciful. Give us humility to recognize that you are God and we are not. Give us vision to see the things that you have placed in our path as testimony of your presence. May the resurrected Christ walk with each of us today and always. Amen.